Well, most of y'all that may have grew up with me or remember me when I was a little bit younger, remember that I was slightly ADD. You know, just a little slightly. And I had trouble keeping focus. If you taught me in Sunday school, you might remember that it was a little worse on Sundays. And that's only because they wouldn't let me have my Ritalin on Sundays. So you may have had to keep my attention. And so today, I want to talk to you about distractions. And my mother, she spent so many times as I was going through school, distractions is why I could not focus in class. And so many nights when I was having to catch up with my classwork and my schoolwork, she would sit at the dining table trying to get me to catch up on my work. But the good thing was, is I was always good at telling stories, so I would keep her distracted. So this morning I want to talk about distractions. You know, in this world we live in, we are constantly bombarded by distractions. You know, things that are always vying for our attention. Whether it's, you know, our cell phones, computers, relationships, work, you know, things that we see on social media, there's things in the community, there's always things that are vying for our attention. You know, and it can be hard to focus on any one thing for very long, let alone our relationship with God. But the truth is, you know, the world's distractions are not just an annoyance. They can truly have a real impact on our spiritual lives. You know, sometimes it's really hard to hear God's voice when we're constantly directed by something else, or we're constantly distracted by something else. You know, it just makes it hard to pray sometimes. It's hard to focus on things that are truly important when we're constantly distracted. You know, so as Christians, we are obviously called to follow Jesus and live a life that is truly pleasing to Him. You know, but for us to do that, we truly have to learn to control those everyday distractions, you know, that we have in our life. And the Bible is full of examples of how distractions have led people astray. And so today, I want to go over a few of those, and we're going to kind of talk about the best way to avoid the things that distract us. And, you know, most of y'all might have guessed one of the first ones I might use, and the first one is busyness. And the example that I want to use is Mary and Martha. And so that's the scripture we'll be in today for the topic of busyness. And if y'all remember, the first distraction, you know, busyness sometimes can just distract us from serving God. Not necessarily that it's bad, but, you know, we live in a world that's constantly bombarding us with demands of our time, so it can be easy to get caught up in just that busyness and the things of just everyday life that are truly responsibilities. You know, nothing bad, it's just responsibilities that we get caught up in. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, we read the account of Mary and Martha, and it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" You know, so Martha was busy preparing the meal. Most of you all know, if we have people over at our house or we're being hosted, that's what we're doing. We're preparing for that company that we have. And so while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listened to him teach, Martha became frustrated because Mary was just sitting there and talking to her while she did all the preparation. And so Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, you know, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You know, Martha's problem, not that it was any maliciousness or badness in it, she became distracted. She was so distracted running here and there that she was being drawn by the cares of the people and not realizing who actually was there with her. She was distracted by much serving. You know, how many times are we caught in that just serving? You know, we've got good intentions, but we caught up so much in that. She loved others. She ministered to others. You know, whomever she could, wherever she could. She was even using her house as a center for caring for people. But she became so weighed and burdened down, tired and exhausted, you know, probably pressured and tense, that she lost sight of her priority, that she became aggravated even, you know, and critical of those who were not even helping. So as, you know, obviously any lady of the house would do, she felt responsible for taking care of the guests and meeting their needs. And when Jesus and his large group had arrived, she naturally expected her sister to help and help prepare the meal and the lodging. And the problem in her mind was that even Jesus didn't suggest that Mary help. So Martha was even disturbed by, why is Jesus not even telling her to help? You know, so Martha really had a legitimate complaint. However, you know, we have to remember that no matter how important anything else is, sitting at Jesus' feet is the one thing that should always take priority. You know, the fact that Martha owned the house, entertained Jesus and the large group, and took care of her sister shows that Martha was loving, you know, and concerned about people. But, you know, evidently she had become too busy, perhaps maybe with the wealth, the hospitality, the social status, or just the managing of the household. Those things took priority in her mind. And, you know, as good as they were, again, they were not good enough, for they did not meet the one basic essential in life, and that was having her spiritual hunger fed with the word of Christ himself. You know, so that story teaches us that it's important to take time to be still and listen to God. How many times do we hear that? That we need to be still and listen to God. You know, we can easily become distracted by busyness. You know, think of the things that we prioritize in our life day to day that we truly, you know, think that need to be done, but are we prioritizing our relationship with Jesus? You know, we need to remember our relationship with God should be just as important as all of those things that we try to make a priority in our life. So we have to remember that, number one, in our busyness, that we're just not too busy and we be still and know who God truly is. But the next thing that can get us in so many different ways is our relationships. You know, another distraction that can hinder our walk with God is, of course, relationships. While healthy relationships can be a source of encouragement, can be a source of support, you know, but unhealthy relationships, they can leave us astray. They can distract us from our relationship with God. You know, let's take King Rehoboam, for example. He finds himself in need of advice in a difficult matter. Jeroboam and all of Israel had asked him to lighten the burden of forced labor his father, King Solomon, had laid on him. And in return, they promised him, "We will serve you." So Rehoboam began wisely by taking counsel from some of the elders of the kingdom who had advised his father, and they told him to reduce the burden as the people asked. You know, read that 2 Chronicles 10:7. It says, "And they said to him, 'If you will be good to these people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.'" So that's what the advisors had told him. But like so many times when we take advice from people, if we don't like what the advice was, we find somebody else to ask their advice. So King Rehoboam, he apparently didn't like it, so he went and asked some of his younger friends, and this is what they said in 2 Chronicles 10:10-11. It says, "And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, 'Thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lightened it for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplines you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" You know, so Rehoboam decided to heed his younger friend's advice because obviously that's what advice he liked better. And his reply to Jeroboam and the people, as the young friend suggested, he appointed a new taskmaster over them in forced labor. The people responded by killing that new taskmaster, and there was a rebellion against the king that was actually never able to be calmed back down. And so by taking the wrong advice, he really hurt his kingdom even more. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" You know, this verse reminds us of the importance of surrounding ourselves with people who share our faith and values. So to avoid the distractions of healthy relationships, we need to be discerning and intentional about the people that we allow into our lives. You know, we should seek out those friends and those relationships that build us up, that encourage us to walk with God, instead of those people or those relationships that push us away from Christ. And we all have those people in our mind, and that doesn't mean that we should not be a witness to the world, be a part of this world, and share our testimonies with people. But those people that truly influence our opinions, our beliefs, and our day-to-day lives should be those that we are equally yoked with, that share our same beliefs, that share that desire to have a relationship with Christ. And so secondly, we have to avoid the distractions of relationships. But thirdly, one that we all can identify with is worries in our life. You know, worry is a natural human emotion. But if you think about it, it can be a major distraction from our relationship with God. You know, when we worry, we focus on the negative and the uncertain. We dwell on our problems and our fears, and we lose sight of the promises that God's actually made to us. You know, you think about the story of the Israelites as they were going into the promised land. You know, what did they do? They had sent out 12 spies to check out the land ahead of time. And we read a little bit of this account in Numbers chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, and it says, "Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" So 10 out of the 12 spies, if you remember, were so worried about the inhabitants of the land that they convinced everyone else that they didn't need to enter it, even after the many times they had seen God work in their lives. They still doubted his faithfulness. You know, whenever I read through this, and you know, you sometimes want to look at Israelites and say, "You saw God part the water, but you forgot about it. You walked through dry land. How could they so quickly forget?" But just as soon as we point the finger at them, we think about all the blessings and all the things we've seen God in our life, and how we so quickly forget those things that he's done for us. You know, so obviously we point the fingers at them, but it is so good that God put those in Scripture for us to read, as we can see those examples. Because the 10 spies were declaring that God could not fulfill his promise to give them the promised land. You know, because he had told them to enter that land. But those spies convinced everybody else that it wasn't a good idea. But they got distracted. They let their worry of taking over that land, distract them from the promise that God was going to give them. You know, and you think about it, the one thing that the Israelites worried about was dying in the desert. What was the consequence of them disobeying God? We read in Numbers 14, it says, "And your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithfulness, until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day. You shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure." You know, God's judgment, as we see on Israel, came in the form of what they worried about the most. They worried about dying in the desert, and they ended up dying in the desert because they let worry distract them from God. Pursuing God rather than being consumed by worry about our daily needs requires a deep trust in God's goodness, and we have to rely on his ability to care for those needs. You know, when we worry, we essentially are saying to God, "We don't trust you to take care of our needs. We're going to take matters into our own hands, and we're going to try to control what they do. We're going to try to control our future." But the truth is, we know we can't control anything. We can't control our future. Only God can. You know, we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, in the parable of the farmer scattering the seeds, Jesus says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You know, you may say, you know, "You just don't know all the things I have to worry about in my life." You may say that, you know, you just don't know what I'm going through. You know, we know everyone in this room has a worry that we may not know about. An unspoken prayer request, you know, things that they are worried about. And you may say it's so hard to trust in God sometimes because of all these things that are piling on. Well, I want to read this illustration that I came across of. Maybe this will kind of put a little bit in perspective. It says, during the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. But many of these children who had lost so much could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them. So finally, someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace all through the night. The bread reminded them, today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow. You know, we think about the worries in our life, and we think about, you know, it may be too hot to go to sleep. You know, you may be like me. I'm one of those that has to have air conditioner fan, the Arctic in the room so I can sleep. You know, and we worry about all those things, whereas just a simple piece of bread helped these children sleep because of everything, you know, they had gone through. You know, we have to thank every day our blessings from God. And so we shouldn't worry about those things we don't have or those things that we put upon our shoulders because we know God can help us through those. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34 says, do not worry then saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. You know, Jesus tells us not to worry about the needs of God, the needs God promises to supply. We must recognize how we try to control things in our lives that lead us to worry, and then be intentional and on purposely turn those things over to God. We must seek daily those things that we want to try to control because we obviously know we can, and turn those over to God when we talk to him in prayer. The last one that I want to talk about today is money and material possessions. You know, one of the most common distractions that we read a lot in Scripture is material possessions, money, riches. You know, 1 Timothy 6:10 said, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many pains. You know, this verse warns us about the dangers of loving money and material possessions more than God. And I'm saying more than God. Because, you know, think about it. Money in itself can be good or it can be bad. With money, a person can do good things like help a neighbor in need, fund ministries, make life easier for someone who is suffering. You know, provide care for abandoned children. There's plenty of ways that money is used for good, and there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to be cautious of the bad things where we can use money to fulfill selfish desires, or we can use money to gain power or influence, or we can let it deceive us as it's our source or it's our resource of the things in our life. We have to be careful that we're not relying on our possessions, on our material things, over God. You know, because it's easy to become obsessed with getting things, collecting things, collecting wealth or material possessions, which truly can distract us from our relationship with God. You know, we're all familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. We read it in Mark 10:17. It says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus lists several things, and you know, the rich young ruler says, I've done all of that. You know, but in Mark 10, skipping on down to verse 21, Jesus said, and Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, I love that they put that in there, that Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. You know, the rich young ruler was disheartened by the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It wasn't his possessions that were sinful. It was where his priority lied. Jesus knew that those possessions and those material things were a distraction in his life. And so Jesus knew that that was the distraction he had to get rid of. He had to put away so he could truly serve God. You know, to avoid the distractions of money and material possessions, we should remember that everything that we truly have comes from God. And every resource that we have comes from God. And so we should use those resources to honor Him. You know, we should always be content with what we have and not be obsessed with accumulating more. We have to remember everything again we have because of God. You know, 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You know, when I proposed to Saskia, and she didn't skip today because I'm preaching. She's running the video today. But anyway, when I proposed to Saskia, there were two things that I knew I had to do. The first one is that I knew that she wanted me to propose on Easter weekend. Now, you can ask her the whole story. She'll be glad to share that whole scenario with you. And then the other thing I knew is that I had no idea how to pick out a wedding ring. So I came up with this idea when I had decided I was going to propose that I was going to do it on Easter weekend without her even having a clue, and that I was not going to worry about picking out the ring. Because I said, I'm not going to pick out the right one, so I'm just going to let her do that. So I made this elaborate plan that I was going to go sing at a memorial service because I knew she would want pictures. And even though we had only been dating a short time, she had already been to multiple funerals with me and realized that that was part of dating a minister, that you might have to attend funerals. And so we had gone to several out of town. So I had gotten Sammy, who was going to take pictures, and I had made this elaborate plan. We were going to go over to Radium Springs. And if you've never been over there, they have a nice, beautiful park down with a bridge. And then they actually have a park that's part of the park that's kind of up high. I knew Sammy could hide up there. I could go down to the bottom part. And so I decided, you know, I got to be smart. I got to figure out how I'm going to propose without a ring. So I decide that I'm going to build a jewelry box. And so I build her a jewelry box. And so then I'm thinking, well, I don't want to really catch her off guard. I mean, obviously we had talked about marriage. So I just kind of hinted. I said, hey, as you're looking, you know, go to this website and just kind of get ideas of what you might like as a ring. And so as we were going through it, she actually saw one that she just fell in love with. But because we were in the area of COVID coming out, it actually had on there, will not be able to be shipped for 3 or 4 months on the website, and that it was not available to them, not available in stores. But that's one she wanted. So I said, well, let me just go ahead and order it so I can get it. So I ordered it, and then when I placed the order, I got the email that said it will be here about a month and a half after Easter. So I luckily still had the I built the ring box. I'd already made all the arrangements. I'd made the plans. I'd already set up that I was singing in a memorial service. I'd already even set up a fake number in my phone where I was getting messages from the person I was doing the memorial service for. You know, I did a lot of planning. It's kind of fun for me, though, actually. So I had all of this stuff planned. And so what was a great thing, though, was that Thursday, Nikki calls me. She says, hey, a box just came in for you. I had no idea the ring had come in. So I was able to get the ring a month and a half early and put it in the ring box. And so I got my sound cases set up so it looked just like I was singing, hid the ring box in it. That morning I picked her up and said, hey, you know I like to be early, so we're going to head on over to Radium Springs.
Great.
As we pull up to Radium Springs, there were two things I had not counted on. Number one, somebody else was doing a memorial service that day. Luckily, it was earlier before, and she knows I like to be early. The second thing is, the day before, they closed the park down for repairs. So, as you can imagine, I was distracted. So, I text Sandy real quick. I said, okay, we'll still go ahead and do it when this memorial service is over. There's still this park up top. You know, we'll do that. And I said, I'll distract her so you can kind of get in, you know, position to take the pictures. And so we kind of worked it out over text and got it worked, you know, and the other memorial service ended. Saskia and I walked up there. About that time, I didn't take into account, it was also prom season. And other people had the idea of using Radium Springs for pictures. So luckily the prom pictures were being taken you know, a few steps over, a few places away, except they brought kids with them. And they were like, y'all go over that way and leave us alone, which was where we were at. So with all of these distractions, I was like, well, you know, I'm going ahead and do it. So I pulled the box out. I showed it to Saskia. We took the pictures and everything. And, you know, it was obviously a great time. And then Sammy said, hey, I know of a place right on the other side of the park when I was over here doing another wedding. She says, let's get in the car and go over there. So we get everything. Sammy gets in her car. She drives off. I get in the car with Saskia. And as we're driving to this next spot, Saskia looks at me, and she takes my hand. And I thought she was going to say something really, really nice, you know, something profound, something really sweet. And she looks at me, and she says, you never asked me to marry you. Unfortunately, with all of the distractions of the kids running around, I forgot to ask her. And I don't really realize how I did that. I guess I pulled the box. Not really sure how I did that. But she still had said yes, so I, you know, as y'all know. But so you think about it. The thing about it is, we can have so many plans in our life. I had planned that day out. I had done a lot of pre-work ahead to get it all. But just a few little things that went as hiccups in the plan distracted me so much from the exact main purpose that I actually never accomplished to ask her to marry me. And so you think about it, what are those distractions in your life that can just throw you off so quickly? You know, but we think about it, the good thing is there's many ways, and here's just a few of suggestions that we can do to keep distractions out of our life and our relationship with God. You know, first of all, we need to make time for God in our daily life. Every day. You know, this means that waking up early maybe to read your Bible, you know, praying before bed, but it means setting time aside each day to intentionally meet with God. You know, next one, you may think, well, this doesn't apply to me, but it can in some ways is turn off your devices, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your television, whether it's whatever that you have, a device that may distract you from God. Because when you're trying to connect with God, it's important that we minimize all the distractions in our life. You know, the next one is find a quiet place to pray. A lot of times, you know, we may have good intentions of praying. We may have good intentions of talking with God and having that special time with God. But we don't plan for it. And we let little things pull us away. Whether it's grandchildren running around, children running around, spouses. You know, we need to make sure that when we are taking that time to set time aside for God, that we are preparing for that time so that we have a quiet place to pray with Him. You know, and lastly, be intentional about that relationship with God. Be intentional about all your relationships. Surround yourself with people who will encourage your faith and not tear your faith down. You know, we need people in our lives that encourage us, that build us up, that make us better people. People that tear us down are not truly friends. Those are not the people that God wants us to have in our lives. You know, overcoming the distractions of the world is not easy, but it is possible with God's help that we can learn to focus on Him and we can grow in our relationship with Him. You know, ultimately our goal as Christians should be to grow closer to God and to become more like Christ by staying focused on Him. By avoiding the distractions of this world, we can honestly fulfill His calling for our lives, and we can bring honor and glory to the Lord, our Savior. You know, Francis Chan, a great Bible teacher, I want to read a quote from him. It says, there are potentially endless pursuits in this life, but few that are truly worth chasing. Part of finding success is being able to draw a hard line between what you truly want and what you don't need in your life. Otherwise, the distraction will drive you a million miles from home with no directions to where you need to go. You know, we ultimately know that our home is one day in heaven. That should be what we should be focused on, is heaven and that relationship with God. You know, Isaiah 51:6 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation Listen to that. But my salvation, God's salvation, Jesus' salvation will be forever. And my righteousness will never be dismayed. You know, don't let the things of earth distract you from your relationship with God. You know, at this time, we're going to have just a time of invitation. And I'm going to ask Miss Judy if she'll just come play through our invitational hymn, I Surrender All. And I'll stand down front if anybody wants someone to pray with, to come talk with. But maybe as Miss Judy's playing, you just need to think about those distractions that are in your life, those things that pull you away from God, those things that you need to surrender to Him. If you'll close your eyes as I pray.